The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. No Twitch today because we're having some camera issues, so sorry for that. You'll just have to text. Miss the first hour. A lot of pay the man.
Pay him.
Pay that man his money. I'll tell you who should also get paid. Lance Erline, who joins us now. He should get his salary doubled.
Who are y'all talking about paying?
UFC fighters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for them to make 16% of the revenue of the UFC in 2019... It's no surprise that guys like John Jones and Conor McGregor are basically, and George Masvidal, they're saying, we're done with this. And I do think, and we were talking about, you know, the NBA, MLB, and NFL are all between 48 and 50%. If the UFC doubled it, if they said, we're doubling fighter pay going forward, we're going to give them 35% of revenue, you're still 15% short of what the other pro sports pay, and you know for a fact the fighters would jump all over that. They'd be thrilled to take it.
Well, I think the tricky part, though, is that this is not a team. It's not a team sport. It's an individual sport. And so when you start talking about, like, name the – what sports do you know that are individual sports that you can compare to – you know, let's say fight-related income, basketball-related, you know, BRA. You're talking about a market percentage, but it's not a market percentage that – it's not really the same. They're individual contractors, and so it's not like there's a certain number, a cap number of money that can be made at each weight class. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, here's the deal, well, though.
This is the amount of money that can be made on each fight card.
And someone was saying professional golf, sort of the same situation. They're contracted workers, but they also have they can go say, Tag Heuer's paying me $2 million to have it on my golf towel. Nike's paying me $1 million to wear their cleats. Callaway's paying me $2 million to use their clubs. The UFC, they make all that money from those. Like, that's like, imagine the PGA gets that Callaway money and Tag Heuer money and Nike money, and it never gets filtered down to the athlete.
So they can't do that anymore, huh? Because I remember back in the day, they used to be able to have whatever sponsors.
Right.
And it,
well, the Reebok thing killed that.
Grab the mic away real quick before they thank sponsors.
Yep, the Reebok thing killed all of that.
It did.
Yep. So well, they don't have an opportunity to make that extra money.
Knocked out.
What they need to do, that's why I say they need to have like a union and organize this thing, because they are, I mean, 16% for a company that made $900 million and they paid out less than $150 to fighters, that's a joke. And they paid over $300 million in stock payouts.
Well, and it's not even the John Joneses and Masvidal's. I mean, Masvidal's still waiting to get – he still hasn't gotten to the big, giant
– Whoops.
Why'd you hang up on Lance, yeah. Aaron?
He just disappeared.
I wasn't standing for his pro labor union stances of paying fighters more money.
Lance may have gone into a tunnel. Maybe you want to try to call him back?
Yeah, it looks like he's still on the line, but he's not there. So
fat faced it into the mute.
Oh. Ugh. Fat yeah. face.
Well, I'm sitting there talking a bunch. But you know, but the very best fighters do get paid decent money. Pretty good money, but and they get sponsorship deals and things like that. But the average fighter does not, and now there's, you know, they run so many cards, they have a chance to get on multiple fights per year. But I don't know exactly what it looks like. I will tell you this. I'll tell you about a story. You'll be able to appreciate this for sure, AJ, and maybe you will as well, Fred. So I got to know, you know, I watched UFC from back at UFC 2 is when I started, and I watched Pride and, you know, Sakuraba when he was the Gracie Killer and all that stuff. Mark Kerr was the smashing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Probably remember that.
Allegedly did some steroids at some point.
Oh, those guys did not use steroids back then. So anyway, and nor do they now.
No, of course not.
Alistair Overeem lifts a ton of weights.
Yeah.
So anyway, so a guy named James Cooper, who actually has the facility here with Adrian Peterson, the workout facility here. Well, James Cooper introduced me. He had been doing some MMA stuff, and this is, you got to remember now, this is in the, like, 99. I met Coop, and Coop introduced me to Saul Solis. You, of course, will know Saul Solis, I'm sure, AJ. And Saul came in studio in early 2000 with me and John, with Mark Kerr and Rico Rodriguez. And Mark Kerr was this, I was super excited about getting a chance to meet Mark Kerr. I didn't know Rico at that particular time.
Rico, who would go on to be a UFC heavyweight champion, for those who don't know.
Shortly thereafter, he ended up winning the UFC heavyweight championship. Well, he came in studio along with Tito Ortiz, and we had Tito and Rico in, and Rico was training to fight Tim Sylvia, and he was training here in Houston. And I got to watch, you know, we interviewed both those guys. I was actually kind of buddy-buddy for a little bit with Rico Rodriguez. I mean, he's a great dude, and I got to watch him train and work out, and I knew, that's whenever I realized, holy crap, these guys do more than any other sport. Like, the workouts that they were doing from a cardio, from a striking standpoint, from weight training. I mean, the workouts were insane. I've never seen anybody put that much time into the workouts as what a fighter does. And so we went to Trulux. It was me, Saul, Rico, Tito, and I don't know, a couple of other guys. I can't remember who it was. Or maybe they were girls. I think they're girlfriends. And pre-Jenna Jameson. And they were super ticked off, especially Tito, about the working conditions and the amount of money that they were not making. And Tito at that time was going to be a pretty big fighter. Like, he was a big fighter in 2000. This would have been 2000 and, oh man, we were in that house. So it's probably about 2003, I think. It was before he lost to Tim Sylvia. And they were really pissed, and they were talking about, we need to just quit the UFC and go to Japan. We can make more Pride. And, you know, that's where Quentin Jackson was, Rampage was over there. And they were really upset with the money, and they just said that I just sat and listened to them and asked questions, and they said, you know, Dana White is taking this over, and, you know, things are getting better, but it's just they play such hardball, we have nowhere else to really go unless we want to leave the country, which I guess you could say the same thing now. And they were complaining about the money then, and it was way lower than it is now. And I guess now, relatively speaking, it isn't that much better relative to where the company is now. Because you look at the company in 2003 versus the company in 20, and it's been sold since then. The amount of money that comes in is, and they got an ESPN deal now. Yep. I mean, it's outlandish money.
But it's not all going to the fighters, and that's the problem.
No, and I don't know how you, yeah. So what do you do? Do you take 40% and say, okay, this goes to the fighters, but then how do you figure it out? How do you cap it? How do you, I don't know how you do that on it from an individual, because what you don't want, I don't think, is like what boxing had, where boxing was trying to figure out where the fighters all of a sudden controlled all the purses, and then the best fighters didn't fight each other. And, you know, that's what hurt boxing, is the best didn't fight the best.
I think because, I mean, it's the UFC's job to put these fights together. They, in a way, have control over how much they're spending on fights. How big of a fight do you want to put on? You know, mm-hmm. that's sort of the gamble of any kind of fight promotion business is, okay, we're going to pay this amount of dollars for this fight to happen. We need to hope that it's going to make this. And there's no way to say, like, okay, we're going to give fighters 40% of pay, but
right.
you are able to increase pay. Like, so if they've averaged 16% for the last 2-3 years, what you can do is say, we're doubling that, and we're going to double everybody's contracts, what we've been paying you, we're going to double it. And now you're at least close to being reasonable there. Some years you may be a little under, some years you may be a little over. And hopefully if you've promoted it properly, you'll make more money on those years that you're over. So I don't know. It's a tough climb to figure out exactly how to make it happen, but I do think it's got to happen.
Did he mute himself again?
Yes, Lance has an extremely he's got quarantine fat face right now.
Again, damn it.
Yeah,
somebody has gone from I just had a bunch of barbecue and grits today. What do you want me to do?
You had the barbacoa?
I had the barbacoa and grits and the greens and the elote corn today.
You had the same plate I did. It's delicious, man. I wish you had told me you were going. I would have gone with you. Well,
yeah, Patrick does great. But the one thing I was going to say is it's going to be interesting because as somebody who I started off as a hardcore fan, and then frankly, I think the amount of fights to saturation just kind of wore me down sometime in the early, like around 2012, 2013. And now I check in on the biggest fights. I mean, I'll watch when I get a chance, but I'm not ordering all those pay-per-views. But John Jones, I want to see. Connor, I want to see. Masvidal, I want to see.
Yep.
Like, I'm still buying the paper. Khabib, I want to see. I'm still checking in for the very biggest and baddest fighters that the UFC has to offer. And if you start losing those guys, you know, I don't think Dana realizes, I guess there's always new guys coming up all the time, but personality is what draws the pay-per-view dollars. And they still, that's a big loss, Conor McGregor,
oh, yeah.
If you think he's really gone.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench.
Hey, I want to ask you a quick question, Lance. What do you think the odds are that that Dalvin Cook gets a deal done? I mean, are they the Vikings? To me, it makes perfect sense to pay him because he's still young enough, and you want that guy around anyway. Doesn't it seem smart to give that dude a little bit of bread now?
Yeah, I think it could be. You know, you always run the risk of having. So it's funny because I talked to a running back coach who actually. I think he used to be in Minnesota, and I don't want to say his name, but he said, Lance, what the NFL teams need to start doing is, he said, no one wants to give a running back a brand-new fat contract like Todd Gurley's after 4 or 5 years. He said it makes more sense to give these guys reasonable raises after 3 years for another 3 or 4 years on their contract because you'd still be within the time frame of 6 or 7 years. The players are happy because they get money, but you also don't have to, you know, you don't have to give up on a guy who's been in the league for 4 years or 5 years because, you know you're about to give them a really bad deal. He said it's better to give them the money that they're earning a little bit earlier and then ride with them for 6 to 7 years max. And he said that's what eliminates that really bad second year, you know, second contract, which is always such a problem for NFL teams and running backs. So from that standpoint, it actually makes sense.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench Monday through Friday and joins us every Monday. Lance, appreciate the time as always, man. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. You got it.
Just for grins when we come back, just some guys who have a higher cap hit number than Dalvin Cook on the Vikings.
Oh, I bet it's laughable.
We'll have some fun with it.
Yeah. I got to tell you about Hoops, Hoops Sporting Equipment, ProDunkHoops.com. That is the website that you'll go to for the best basketball goal in the whole wide world. And you might say, AJ, how do you know it's the best basketball goal in the whole wide world? Well, they told me, first of all. But there's also one out in front of my house, and it is awesome. And it's way, way nicer than I even thought it was going to be when I got it installed. 75% thicker steel than any goal on the market. A tempered glass backboard so strong they guarantee if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. And a rust armor finish, meaning no rust, 30 years maintenance free, perfect for the Gulf Coast weather. It's going to last. It's going to last your children's entire childhood and beyond. And they're all adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle. So any age can play. My kids are out there every day hooping it up on this goal. Get your new Hoops goal today. You can see it all the accessories, all the options. They've got one for your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version. They've got it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So we'll play a little game. First, I'll give you the big number, guys.
On Kirk the Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, $21 million is his cap hit.
That's pretty good.
Adam Thielen, 12.7. Daniel Hunter, $9 million. Anthony Barr, 12.7. Riley Reiff, 13.2.
Okay.
Anthony Harris, 11.4. Harrison Smith, 10.7. Eric Kendricks, $10 million. Kyle Rudolph, $8.8 million. Michael Pierce, $5 million. Shamar Stephen, $5 million. Dan Bailey.
Oh, no.
$2.150 million cap hit.
Ugh.
The kicker is getting more than Dalvin Cook. Some of the others, Eric Wilson's getting 3.2. Garrett Bradbury, 2.9. And Mike Hughes, 2.6. All of those guys making more than the non-guaranteed, which doesn't matter because you're not cutting Dalvin Cook.
No.
$2.021.508.
Man.
Pat Elflein is making more than him.
Oh, I know him.
At 2.3. Yeah, how many of those names you admit you don't even know?
Elflein, I'm all over him.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite players, actually. I have a jersey.
Well, loved him in Lord of the Rings. But, yeah, so I think you should pay the man his money.
I do, too.
When they got $12 million in cap room, they could easily bump him up to 5 or 6 this year and then, you know, give him a couple – little bit more the next couple of years, and everybody's happy. But yeah, I love playing that little game because just like with the Texans,
yeah.
Kyeemy Fairbairn making more than Deshaun Watson this year.
Yep.
Seems right to me.
Shame. It ain't fair, but that's the rules.
Ironically, not one of the top players taken in that redraft.
Kyeemy Fairbairn?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I think they almost took him, but last second they got concerned about health or something.
Or ability.
Well, or...
No kicker should go in the fourth round, not even Justin Tucker.
How dare you? Name a player on that didn't get drafted that you'd rather...
Well, I'd have to go look at the whole stupid list.
Which, okay.
By the way, that's the dumbest list I've seen in forever.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is there... We mentioned the three Texans that got drafted. Deshaun Watson, Laremy Tunsil, J.J. Watt. Is there a player on the Texans you would rather have on your team than Justin Tucker?
Let's see. Carry the one.
The answer is zero.
Kiki Kuti.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Titus Howard might be more valuable long term. I don't know. I mean, kickers. I mean, it's just a kicker. I'm sorry. The difference between the best kicker and a mediocre kicker is not enough for me to give up a position player in 4 rounds.
Okay. I will say one of the guys who not drafted on that list, Jadeveon Clowney.
Interesting.
And the word is Jadeveon Clowney got offered $15 million a year.
Well, $18 million from the Browns.
$18 million by the Browns, but $15 million by the Seahawks and doesn't want to take it. I got to be honest, JD, I know you're listening right now. Take that money, bro. Take that money and, you know, have yourself a big year. The stats from last year are not overwhelming. They're not. And, you know, it's easy. He had 3 sacks last season. That's what everyone will point out. I mean, I think his impact is greater than those numbers, but you can only sell that for so long. He had more forced fumbles than he had sacks. So, I mean, he's disruptive. He's making things happen.
Yeah, the misconception is that he's a pass rusher. And everybody keeps, and so he wants to get paid like he's a pass rusher. He's not a pass rusher, but he's a disruptive defensive end who can change the game for you.
And honestly,
in good and bad ways, because he gets penalized a lot.
And I'll say this, man. If you want to get paid like a pass rusher, you know a good way to do that? Play on the opposite side of Myles Garrett for a year. That'll probably get you somewhere, because guess what? That defensive front in Cleveland's got a lot of problems. Trust me, their defensive line, it's up there amongst the things that aren't problems for them. So if I'm him, yeah, I go play opposite Myles Garrett for a year. make yourself. You'll probably get some sacks because they're going to double team Garrett before they double team Clowney. Maybe make yourself some extra money going forward, but you're not going to get a long-term deal right now. It's just not at this point in the free agency game. It doesn't happen ever.
Well, if it were me and it was $15 million to go back to Seattle or $18 million to go to Cleveland, I'm going back to Seattle. But that's just me.
Well,
because I feel like that team has a real chance.
But here's the thing: It depends on if you're looking for where you've got a better chance of having team success. It's certainly Seattle. Where's your best chance of putting up numbers that could open up some eyes come free agency next year? I think you want to be on the best unit you can possibly be on, and that may be that front four in Cleveland.
Maybe. I think it just depends on what you want.
Yeah, but you ain't going to win a bunch of games there, I don't think.
No, but and I mean if that's but see then if he has a bunch of empty numbers on a team that sucks, they're going to hold that against him in the next.
We've seen that before. Yeah.
Then they'll hold that against him in the next contract negotiation. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in today on a Monday, hope everybody's having a good one.
We're going to bring in Eric Warner next. He got here early because he's unprofessional, and we'll talk to him coming up. But instead of at 6 o'clock, I got to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. Guys, you talk about professionals, the guys at Allstate Siding and Windows, these are professionals. And during COVID time, they know what's important. Your safety is important. Your health is important. And they are taking extra precautions to make sure that you are taken care of, you are safe, and that they are taken care of and that they are safe. And it's a great time to get windows, believe it or not, because they've still got the special going. No payments for 2 years, $2,500 off all siding jobs, and 30% off all windows. And if you're not paying for 2 years, you're reaping the benefits of that over the next 2 years before you even pay a dollar. And you could save up to 40% on your energy bills with new vinyl windows. Doesn't make any sense to let that get by. Senior cash discounts are available. Family owned and operated for over four generations. These are good people. For the best rate, call Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com. That's 832-204-1936 for Allstate Siding and Windows.
Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
All right, this is a good day. Eric Warner is back in town and back in studio. Follow him on Twitter at MK Pallet. Carbach. It feels normal now because Eric's back.
You know.
And we've got a hair off going on too, which is kind of fun.
Fred and AJ, it is good to see you, but I got to tell you, so you loyal listeners would know, well, what's Eric doing on at 5:30? I got here in record time.
Yeah, you got to remember there's no cars on the roads anymore.
I really am ambivalent about this, guys, because on the one hand, obviously, I hate traffic, but in a way, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know? I left my place at 3:15 today, and I was in the parking lot by 3:28.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So.
How do you come around 59?
Yeah, 59. I basically take 59, and then I exit before Chimney Rock because I hate doing that exit to Chimney Rock where you're crossing three lanes and people are crossing three lanes against you. So I always either exit Newcastle and take Richmond, or I exit West Lane and take West Park. But yeah, it's been.
And has it been like that kind of every day?
I mean,
except when it rains,
it's starting to ramp up a little bit. How many people are out on the streets? But it's nothing like it, you know, like normal. Certainly.
Yeah, and I mean, I've just noticed that being out and about, like we started doing steak night again on Thursday, and then yesterday we went to a couple of bars. And I know it's bad for their business, but it kind of reminds me of what it was like when I first moved down there, because there's only about 10 people in each bar.
Yep.
Now, Pitch 25 was fairly packed because they had kids in there playing soccer and stuff. But for the most part, You know, there's actual parking down there. Not, I mean, I walked, but still, you could park. Interesting times.
To say the least, man. Yep. Yeah, so I came from my little mountain town in Colorado through Denver for a couple days, and now a couple days in Houston. And I got to tell you, my little mountain town has felt the most bustling, if I may dare use that word.
Oh, really? Because there's a lot of people hiding out there.
There are, man. I think a lot of people are hitting the road. Driving to Denver on Wednesday, early June, the traffic was like kind of midsummer traffic. So I think people are getting out and about, and you know, they're stir crazy with the kids. They're probably going on camping trips and yep. RV trips. So I think that's going to be, you know, what's going on all summer.
I think so. Yeah, I got out on the river, and on Saturday and Sunday there was a crowd. Besides that, though, I mean, it was a ghost town.
Now, did they have any kind of? I mean, I'm sure they had little signs recommending the social distance on the river or whatever. But
no, there was not even a sign.
Okay, just do whatever.
Yeah, and I realized on Saturday and Sunday people were, and we just didn't float that day. We'll chill out. Like where we stay, there's like the kids have a cliff to jump off. There's a deep swimming hole. There's rope swing. So we just sat there all day and on Saturday and Sunday and drank beer. And every other day, pretty much, I was out floating. And there's nobody on the river. So, it's a good place to socially distance, except on the weekends. And the weekend that I was out there was really kind of the first weekend where they felt totally comfortable getting out and doing things. So I think a lot of people were like looking forward to it and getting out there. And that was a little too much for me, but you're able to avoid it.
So how would you rate the traffic out there on the river as a percentage of normal? Like half, 75%, 25%?
For a normal time out there, it was probably about half. The Saturday and Sunday, though, was like normal, though. The rest of the time, there just weren't people out there. And a lot of it is, listen, there's a lot of people who are out of work. So there's a lot of people who aren't taking vacations, you know, during the summer, which makes sense. But there's still those people who are going to, like, and that when I say vacations, I'm talking about like what I did, go out there for a week. But making a weekend trip out there is, that's a manageable thing, you know, especially there's people who tent camp or whatever. You can rent a place out there,
Airbnb or whatever.
Yeah, for like $140 a night or something like that, $150 a night, and it's not unreasonable. But you know, the people who go out there for a full week, that percentage was down certainly.
Yeah, the air travel was interesting. I mean, I flew back on Southwest on Saturday, and you know, the Denver airport was a ghost town. Pretty much everybody was masked up in the airport, and definitely on the plane. It was,
how crowded was the plane?
So Southwest, you know, is doing that guaranteed middle seat free thing.
Yeah,
but otherwise the plane was, you know, pretty full. I forgot, Fred, to I have status with Southwest, whatever, so I get to get on first. And despite what they say about going to the back of the plane being safer, mm-hmm. I'm like, I just want out of the plane as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know, fifth row.
Well, I mean, you're not worried. Like when they say it's safer, that's like in case of a crash, right?
Mm. No, because the theory is if you were the first on and you can boogie all, because a lot of the airlines are doing that now. They're boarding from the back. Because the theory is you're not walking past anybody. So if you go all the way to the back right away, you don't have all these people walking past you. Now, that logic goes away because then all their germs are up front and you still have to go through that gauntlet on your way out of the plane.
Right.
But anyway.
I've always thought they should board from the back to the front.
I'll be way more efficient.
It always makes more sense to me. But...
It all goes to that first class thing, like, oh, you got to get on first and get your little cocktail before they even take the plane
off. That's what's funny. Since when is getting on the plane early? Like, people love it. Now, listen, if you don't have it on Southwest, it kind of is. It is a luxury because you're picking your seat. So that makes it a luxury. But when you've got assigned seats, I've never understood the rush to get on. Like, I just don't get it. I mean, I get it if you pay to upgrade your actual seat, but if all you're paying for is early boarding, to me, that's a giant waste of money. Because if I don't get a better seat, I don't get more leg room, something, I'm not upgrading. If all I'm getting is a chance to get on before the... I'd rather be the last one on the plane, honestly. And I'll just sit in the airport and play some stupid game on my phone while all the rest of them fight over space. Because, I mean, my carry-on is typically a backpack that I shove under my seat. So I'm not worried about running out of overhead space or anything like that. So I don't need to be the first one on unless it improves my seating scenario.
Well, and you're a big dude, so you're definitely like one of those guys. Your knees are stuck in the back of the seat in front of you for 2-4 hours, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I get that 100%, man. And to pay for that, is absolute
silly.
Insanity. But honestly, it was a very chill experience. It's like, again, it's kind of like the traffic thing here today. I think it would be awesome if you could always walk right up and go through security, right?
What was the airport like? Was it kind of a ghost town?
Yeah. So the food concessions, I'd say about 2/3 of them were open. And the little, what do you call them, the like sundry shops where you get the bottle of water, the chocolate, the gum, the magazine, those seemed to be pretty much open. But anything that was more specialized, like a place where a woman could buy a purse or buy sunglasses. Yeah, that stuff was all shut down. And kind of rightfully so, because I just don't see how, you could justify being open. I mean, I've been following this. The TSA has a site that shows this year's traffic versus last year, comparable day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So you get kind of an accurate comparison. And it's just now creeping above 15% of last year. So
is it safe to assume that in your quiet little mountain town, there were no protests or riots going on after the murder of George Floyd?
It did not seem to be happening. Denver, but my people in Denver seem to be showing up. And Denver, okay. I don't know if you saw the Broncos, man. They were in the march on Saturday. Von Miller was like leading the charge, and it was really cool to see. And I don't know if you've seen that video that it highlights probably a dozen NFL players.
The one with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Yeah,
and you know, man, that really got me thinking. If these guys have a lot of power,
they do,
and if they were to really throw it out there and say, you know what, people, you're not getting your football, that would get people moving into action.
Well, here's the other thing. And I guess we didn't even really get into it last week when we talked about this that video and Roger Goodell coming out with his response to it. I guess because we didn't know at the time, the NFL owners did not approve that message. That was Roger Goodell just saying, you know what, this is going to be the NFL's response. He didn't go to all the owners and say, hey, how do you guys feel about me saying this? Because apparently some of them don't feel the same way as Roger Goodell. And, you know, obviously Robert Kraft is a known supporter of the current regime.
Yes.
Jerry Jones, remember what he said he'd fire anybody who took a knee. So there's a lot of these owners that Roger Goodell says, or Roger Goodell apparently wasn't speaking for. So he may have been a little bit out of line when he said that the NFL as a whole believes this, because apparently that's not quite true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those situations where it's not easy, right? And I think there's a lot of well-intentioned people who accidentally, say the wrong thing, right? And it's very – you got to be careful, right?
Yeah.
And I think the easiest way to look at it is just to say, imagine if the tables were turned, or imagine if you were in that situation, right? And just how would it feel if somebody said X, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. People, on the one hand, it's really good to see that people are passionate about it. And I believe there was a poll out today that shows, like, finally the majority of Americans believe stuff has gone too far, and that change is finally needed. Whereas after Eric Garner, that same poll basically showed only like 30%.
I will say you're starting to see, and I believe you're starting to see like a change of heart in people, or at least like a there's more people who are willing to speak out now that wouldn't have said anything before, you know, and that's a big deal because a lot of people just like to say, and a lot of businesses like to say, well, that's not really our business,
right?
You know, racist buy shoes too, to put it into sort of a recent thing with Michael Jordan when he said Republicans buy sneakers too. I mean, there are racist hillbillies who buy cars and buy, you know, Gatorade and all the, you know, beer. So their companies are not always willing to go out on a limb and say, you know what, this isn't right. This isn't what we believe, because they're worried that there may be some backlash to their company. This is the first time I think companies are really starting to go out on a limb a little bit more. And I don't know of any company that's really gotten a bunch of backlash for doing it besides the NFL. Trump's tweeting at the NFL.
Well, you knew he would. We called that the other day. It's like, wait, old Trump's response.
But I don't know of anybody who's been like, hey, man, if you support that movement, I'm not supporting your business anymore. I haven't heard many stories of that, honestly.
No, it does seem like it's been, like, if you think back to Charlottesville, for example. Mm-hmm.
There's good and bad people on both sides.
But there definitely seemed to be more of a, what do I want to say, debate there. But this does seem very one-sided.
It seems pretty, yeah.
Like I don't know anybody who is.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people who thought the Eric Garner thing was, I don't know about justified, but because he was a criminal, like they maybe thought. And like the Ferguson case was sort of the same way. There's always there's two sides of the story. This one's all caught on video. There's not two sides of the story. This is the story, and it's ugly. Nobody can be like, yeah, but he did this that deserved that. Like, there, you can't say that this time, which I think makes it easier to get behind it and say, no, this can't happen anymore.
Yeah, you guys need to read the text line before you start talking about.
Oh, I did. You're right. You're right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Somebody was going to call my boss for me saying that white privilege was a thing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm going to let your boss know. You've crossed the line as management for saying white privilege is real.
Oh, boy.
Which is why I don't read the text line anymore. Right. I'm that broken up with it, Fred.
I warned you. I warned you for years. Stay the hell away from it. Do you listen? No. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we're back. The ESPYs have always celebrated hope, service, and perseverance. This year, more than ever, we want you to celebrate with us, and we want you to celebrate athletic achievement right here at home. ESPN 97.5 is honoring a local athlete whose senior season was cut short due to the COVID-19 health crisis. Tweet at ESPN 97.5 with the hashtag HoustonESPY before June 9th, that would be tomorrow, to nominate and say why that senior high school or college athlete is deserving of the Houston Honorary ESPY. We'll share our final five nominees and announce our Houston Honorary ESPY winner on Tuesday, June 9th, during the Blitz, tomorrow. Join us in celebrating local senior high school and college athletes. What are we drinking here, bud?
So, you guys, as usual, are getting a sneak preview. This is, remember the Pilsner that we were talking about a couple shows ago that we're kind of working with Aaron Franklin and Chris Shepard on, the Benefit Southern Smoke. Of course, the foundation that kind of Chris Shepard got behind to help the food and beverage industry at the retail level. So this is the Pilsner that's going to roll October 1st I asked DG if I could reveal the name, and I got a hard no. Not just yet.
So this beer will come out October 1st?
Yes. So okay. The name is there, and I don't know why, because it's like, DG, we're having to get packaging printed up as we speak.
Yeah.
So I don't know what his deal is. I will tell you guys after.
Just
I'm
tell
off.
Us. Nobody's listening today.
I swore.
It's a Monday.
I want you. Got to give me. You got to get me a little more liquored up than that.
Okay. Well, right. What's it? It's probably this doesn't have enough ABV to do
no,
it. Probably.
No. And this is just a good German Pilsner with some awesome German hops. We put a little bit of Munich malt into it, so it's got a little bit deeper golden color than say like a Love Street, which is really straw. Blonde. It's got a nice sweetness to it, a little honey kind of sweetness to it. And then it's got a nice little, bitterness on the back, back end. Good. So there you go.
I've been, I'm not typically a Pilsner guy. And so I took out probably five cases of Carbach to the river, which, by the way, great river beer is the Lil Cella and Vive Cella. And that's not beers that I'd normally drink. But I was like, you know what? I'll give it a try. I wish I would have done almost all that because it's so refreshing, honestly. Like, it's almost like drinking water. Like, it feels that way. I mean, obviously, it doesn't feel that way. But it's like when you're drinking it, it's so smooth and goes down so easy. And it's really refreshing when it's hot out there. But those beers I thought were excellent for the river. And Dave Ulmer, who and is a big fan of yours as well. He when he started brewing, when I started brewing, he's like, I had already read Eric's books. And he said when Z Pills came out, he said, I'm gonna pick his brain on what he's doing. And he's got he works now at a brewery called Urban South here, which they're doing a lot of really creative, like fruited sours, and that have like raspberry Fanta and crazy stuff in it, and it's really wild flavors. But he doesn't like to drink those beers. He loves Pilsners, and he made a beer called Tighten Up, and he does a beer called Timepiece too. And these are both like they're very similar to this. And he said people don't realize these are the hardest beers to brew. He's like, if I make a bad beer and I pile enough, raspberry fruit. Fanta into it or blueberries or whatever it is, it can mask some flaws. He's like, these are three ingredient beers that if you don't do it right, it sucks. And he said, honestly, like nobody in craft likes to talk about it, but there's a respect for Budweiser for being able to consistently brew that product and really at such massive quantity and keep a consistent taste. He said that is its own magic to do that.
I agree. It's not an easy 100%. Beer to make. I mean, even though I've been in the craft industry my whole life, I remember when I first got into it and people would dog, like Coors or Budweiser or whatever. I would always somewhat come to their defense and say, look, you may not like what they do, but it's kind of like Mickey D's, right? You
right.
get a Coors on this date in this bar in Portland, Oregon,
it's
and you get one
like,
in New yep. York City, they're going to taste the same, and they're going to hold up well to adverse conditions. The other analogy a buddy of mine and I always like to draw is like making a Pilsner or something like this. It's like wearing a Speedo on the beach, right?
Yeah.
You better be kind of cut.
Yeah.
Whereas, you got an Imperial Stout and something, you got a flowing linen shirt on that's hiding your...
Well, just throw some marshmallow in it.
Yeah, yeah. and by the way, speaking of which, those Sixtels are there waiting whenever they're cold of our beer, of our s'more beer. And
excellent.
And then we have... the rest of it in the barrel, aging away.
Excellent.
So, this could be a blessing in disguise that, we get to sit on this beer
putting
for
some
a little
time
bit.
On it.
Yeah, that's right. Let it get better.
Yeah. So, and Eric was or Dave was saying that beer, he called it Timepiece because it takes a long time. It takes significantly more time to work with that beer than it does. Like, you know, he's like, I could make three batches of these fruited sours in the time it takes to make this. It really is sort of a labor of love. Is it, like, for you guys, is this a beer, is it time consuming relative to some of those other beers?
Yeah, yes and no. So when it comes to, I think what Dave is probably referring to is aging time, right? And so the lagers, you know, Pilsner's a subset of lager, if you will. And so they typically are going to sit in the aging tank for, you know, 4 or 8 weeks, something like that. Whereas an IPA, you know, is maybe in the tank for a total of 17 days. Now, on things like the fruited beers or barrel-aged beers, there is a lot of work. Even though the fermentation time is shorter, there's a lot of hands-on work getting it into the barrel, getting the fruit into the beer. So, but yeah, from a time in the tank, the Pilsners take a while.
Okay, well, we're going to get a bonus segment from Eric because I want to talk about what's going on at Carbach and, like, you know, how you guys are opening things back up and what that's been looking like. So stick around with us. And I got to tell you about TGS Insurance, one of the fastest growing agencies in the state. And why are they growing so fast? Because of you guys. Thank you. And if you're saying, well, I haven't saved my money yet, well, now's your day. Today's your big day, buddy. If you own your home and you could use some extra money, listen to these words. If you own your home and you're like, I've got so much money, I can't use that, sit this one out. If not, though, grab your phone and text the word money to 232323. What they'll do is they'll ask for your address. You reply back with that. They're going to send you a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And this company is legit. I did it. I saved over $1,000. The average customer saving $900 a year. There's no need to wait for your renewal. They don't care if you've got you're locked in with some other company. They'll get rid of those jokers and start saving you money immediately. They're open now. Text the word money to 232323 and start saving today.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you, la 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 la.